Welcome back to Mostly Superheroes, an episode we call The Snack. Bite-sized episodes, focused content, getting you in, getting you out. Here to talk about a movie that you'll be ready to get out of, I guarantee you, by the time we get done, Madame Web, Sony's latest flick. Let's do it.
The music show's back, I guess.
I mean, the music show, just so you know, is dead. Spotify has killed the music show.
Oh.
And they're not letting... I mean, obviously, this was always going to happen. You couldn't just bring artist music into shows. However, they're letting all the legacy episodes live forever. So every episode we ever made of Mostly Superheroes, the music show, is still alive and well. At MostlySuperheroes.com, that's where you find us, our podcast. I'm your host, Logan. Doing it differently, we're so pumped to bring you The Snack. Something that I think we've been kind of work in for years, right, Andy? I mean, at one point we called it the 5-minute mini meat.
I love snacks.
The hors d'oeuvre,
my fave.
You know, just something to get you going. And today Sony has done it again to us.
To us.
But I want to say hey to you guys. Giggler, how you doing?
Dude, I'm great. This is a nice Saturday morning vibes today.
Yeah.
Productivity. Now let's get to business.
Yeah, we did some work. Now we can play.
Yes.
Scotty Scoop, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. Way more excited than I should be to talk about Madame Web.
I think this we've
learned. It's web in time.
It's web. How is this not a quote in the movie? We can't wait to give you all the quotes, all the details, all the fun stuff. It will be a bite-sized segment. We'll get right into it. Let's talk about Madame Web. Okay, so we have this the Sony Spider-Verse, right? Like, we know what this is. It's this weird... Right. It's an adjacent universe to the Marvel universe in general. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's touched the MCU in times. Titles from this Sony Spider-Verse. Venom, Let There Be Carnage, Morbius. Am I forgetting any? Those are kind of the hits, right? Yeah. Madame Web now is the next iteration. Another Spider-Man Sony project. And... you talk about Spider-Man adjacent. This movie is doing it. And we're going to do this in two parts. The snack will always be in two parts. The first part will always be spoiler-free. You don't have to worry about those spoilers coming in when you don't need them. We're going to give you the fun stuff, who made it, the box office, and let's talk about that right now. The director of the film, talented S.J. Clarkson, makes her feature film debut steering the suspense-driven thriller Madame Web. S.J. Clarkson. Clarkson is obviously a debut new to us. New to everybody else, we have a screenplay of this film that was written by Claire Parker, Matt Sazema, and Burke Sharpless. And the cast on the movie is epic. A lot of big names, a lot of talent. Going down the list, Dakota Johnson coming in as the clairvoyant Cassandra Webb, you know, a.k.a. Madame Webb. Sydney Sweeney's in this film playing Julia Cornwall. Isabella Merced?
It's Merced.
Merced as the spirited Anya Corazon.
Soon to be hot girl.
Is that right?
In the DC.
She was Dora the Explorer.
Way to go,
in the
guys.
The Dora movie.
Way to go, nice. Guys. Celeste O'Connor as the determined Maddie Franklin. Tahar Rahim as the antagonist Ezekiel Sims. Mike Epps as O'Neill. Emma Roberts as Mary Parker. Adam Scott as Ben. Carrie Beesh as Constance, and Zosiah Mamet as Amaria. A lot more characters in this as well, and we do want to tell you about the numbers. So the movie had a budget of $100 million, a production budget of only about $80 million, and debuted, I guess, about 2 weeks ago from when we're recording today. We saw this. Me and Andy saw it at the Alamo Drafthouse Theater.
Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, baby.
Valentine's
most romantic
Day
way.
Yep. How about you? Where'd you see it? Scotty?
I saw it at the, in the Valley, Chesterfield Valley, Marcus.
Marcus?
Yeah.
Very nice. And a lot of people went and saw this movie. Maybe not as many as they would have liked. It had a worldwide box office of $92 million. So coming in at a loss, just from a basic numbers standpoint, the story, we'll let you be the judge along with us in our part two of this, where we get into the spoilers. So let's have a little story time. Madam Web.
It's webbing time.
It's time for the future and the past. This movie is set in 2003. Full spoiler alert for Madam Web. Big tight review. We've gone through this a few times. It had been a couple weeks, so we had to play catch up. But let's just see if we can do a round table, a quick, 5 minutes of this story, and we're going to do ratings and our kind of thoughts on the whole Sony, Marvel. I'm going to call it a problem. I'm just going to come out and say
it's a problem first.
It's a problem. We have Madam Web, Dakota Johnson. We meet her. I called this Blade style, right? Like, young baby in the opening of the scene. They're in the Peruvian jungle. You got a pregnant mom.
Doing spider research.
Spider research, trying to find the cure for, like, to take back to the U.S. This is, like, in the 1980s?
73.
73, thank you. Peruvian jungle, researching spiders. Apparently, there's legends of spider people that have been around, that know about these legendary spiders.
Superpowers.
What do we mean by superpowers? Maybe jumping around the tops of trees.
Yeah.
Maybe jumping from branches to trees. And it's a mom, pregnant mom, and Ezekiel Sims, essentially, right?
Kind of like a guide.
A guide.
Or a bodyguard, yes. Kind of like protection to be in the jungle.
Yes, it's a team up. She's the researcher. I'm here to help you find your stuff. Mm-hmm. They have like a unique relationship. You can tell they've been maybe traveling for a while together, and very pregnant, like 9 months pregnant.
Yeah, like any minute she's going to pop.
Well, turns out Ezekiel's not what he says he is. He's a bad guy, okay? And not only is he a bad guy, he's the bad guy from the film. He does kill the mother. I don't know if you guys
know. She finds the spider.
Because he takes the spider that she finds from her and is like, okay, I got this thing, kills the mom. The spider people that live in the Peruvian jungle find the mom, take her back to like this cave of water and say like, we'll help you out. But she does die, but they save the baby.
Yeah.
AKA Madam Web.
Madam Web.
Okay. Flash forward.
2003.
To 2003.
30 years old.
Great year. Great year. I remember it vividly.
No explanation. Just literally a title tag that pops up that says 2003. And you're like, okay.
Yep. New York City.
New York City. She's a paramedic.
Yeah.
She's out in the streets. She's driving the ambulance. She is Dakota Johnson, driving an ambulance, being a paramedic. And she immediately like saves a family. We meet her partner, Ben, played by the wonderful Adam Scott. Adam Scott?
Yep. A bright spot in this movie.
Oh, man. I mean, from watching Parks and Rec every night for the last like 3 months, like he is amazing. And I was so thrilled to see him in the film playing this other paramedic, Ben. We get to know Dakota's character a little bit. She's standoffish. She's awkward. She doesn't really necessarily like people.
Yeah.
It seems like.
She's got no kind of people skills whatsoever.
At the hospital, the family that she helped was like, hey, you helped us. Thank you so much.
You saved our dad.
Sidney Sweeney,
one of the children that said, hey, thank you for saving my dad.
Yeah, this is Julia Cornwall.
Right? Yes.
Okay. Yep. And she's like, you saved my dad. Thanks. And she's like, I don't need your thanks. The little kid drew her a picture.
Yeah,
she's
little
like,
brother.
What am I supposed to do with this? Well, throw it in the trash. Yeah. And Adam Scott's like, not until the kid is not in the room.
Yeah, make sure at least they walk away.
Rude.
We learn more about the character. She goes to a barbecue with Ben. And this is after a big scene, right? So that her and Ben are out on a call and things go wrong. She falls off a bridge into a river and she dies.
Yeah, there's a car accident, and the car is, hanging off the side of the bridge. She gets in to unbuckle the guy, gets the guy out, and the car falls. And she drowns.
And during this drowning, she has this, like, huge vision where she's in a web.
Yeah, spider space.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of different... First of all, you have no reason to think this has anything to do with spiders outside of the movie being called Madam Web. Okay, so you're just like, okay, she's in the web. Here's the web. She's seeing like glimpses of like futures and pasts and other people. And also like visions are mixed in of like maybe not necessarily at this death part, but kind of, she's seen Sidney Sweeney. She has seen, that was Julia Cornwall. She's also seen the other girls as well.
Anya and Maddie.
Yes.
And it kind of reminded me when that scene happened of Lost. When they were like in the smoke monster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they were kind of getting them.
And you get like the
little flashes and scenes flying by.
Great callback.
Yeah.
That's like the Mr. Echo episode.
Yes.
Please do that sound again. That was pretty good. I appreciate
it. It sounds
that.
Like chains, like running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very familiar to that. And so she comes out of this. Ben saves her, right? He gives her CPR. You're okay. Life kind of goes on. But now she starts having visions of the future.
Yes.
Like kind of like close proximity visions, like things that are happening, you know, 10 seconds ahead of you. She's seeing it. And then she comes back to like, oh, that hasn't happened yet. Everyone maybe has seen Final Destination. So like that premonition type thing. That's what she's got. Once she figures this out, she's, you know, we get some weird stuff with like, it's 2003. Her partner's name is Ben. We get introduced to his sister-in-law, who's
Mary,
who's very pregnant, and they're at a family barbecue. And we once again see, I keep wanting to say Dakota Johnson,
Cassandra,
Cassie or Cassandra,
Cassie is short for Cassandra.
So we see Cassie, you know, her personality once again. She's at this baby shower, and they're like, "Let's guess the name of this baby. Let's guess the name of this baby." And they're kind of hemming and hawing, throw some names out there. Maybe we'll save the, you know, what we're kind of leading here to toward the end. And she's just like, why are you guys? Yeah, my mom died when I was a kid. So, you know, she went to the jungle in the middle of Peru, and because she thought researching spiders was more important than taking care of me. So that's my relationship with my mom.
Hope the spiders were worth it, Mom.
And happy baby shower, Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. And she has a vision. Depressed. This is when she has one of her first visions because she sees a conversation like replay in front of her again.
Yes. Good call.
Okay. So as she's having these visions, she's starting to see the girls that she's seen across town. All right. Sydney Sweeney. We've got all the names here. Isabel Merced and Celeste O'Connor. So Julia, Anya, and Maddie. And she sees these girls on the subway. Let's take a pause, right? Let's talk about Ezekiel Sims. Ezekiel Sims is the bad guy that killed her mom.
30 years ago.
And in a present day, right, he got that spider.
Yeah, he's got the spider.
We meet him during a hookup. He's with a hookup. Like, he's got a lady in his bedroom, and he's kind of like explaining to her what's going on.
And she is like the CEO of some company.
Like a surveillance.
Yeah,
a
surveillance company.
Which, this is 2003, right? So city.
Kind of new.
It's very new, like having cameras on like the streets. On the street poles and stuff like that. It's kind of new. And this is the woman that has like the inside scoop. And he has just had like a night of sexual relations with this woman. And they're kind of like flirting back and forth. And I almost think like these two have a real, you know, solid relationship. But then he quickly, you know, has poisoned her, which apparently he can do by his own touch.
Yes.
So he touches her arm and he starts to poison her arm. And she's like, what is happening? And he goes, you're going to give me the full access to these cameras or I'm not going to give you the antidote to this poison.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, okay, you got it. And she gives him the password. And what does he do? He kills her anyway. What did he share with her before he poisoned? I have a dream every night of three spider girls that come and kill me when I'm like 60. And they show us this vision of like all the stuff you saw in the trailer, right? Of like Sydney Sweeney, like coming down from the ceiling. This is it. Like, you see this, you see these three spider girls attacking him. It kills him. What has happened? He's been bitten by the same spider that he took from Peru. It gave him the vision powers, and it gave him the poison to the touch powers.
And it was the first sign that this movie isn't what we thought we were going to get.
That was the first sign. Yeah, like, you're, like, looking at this guy, and you're like, okay, so this guy's... Okay, so they kind of leave you at that, and it goes back to Cassie. She sees the three girls in present day 2003 and starts having visions of Ezekiel coming down the subway and killing these
killing
girls.
Them. Yeah.
Like picking them up, breaking their necks. And then they get even worse to where, like, okay, so she stops that from happening. She gets the girls off the subway. They don't know who she is. I'm going to help you guys. Someone's coming after you. And this is where the guy goes into his, Ezekiel goes into his suit. Okay. And big reveal here, Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's just a Spider-Man suit.
But it's not Spider-Man.
No.
No webs.
He can crawl. He can jump. He's kind of strong.
Yes. Spider-Man does not exist here.
No. And why do I say Spider-Man? Because it's a black Spider-Man suit.
Yes, with like red webbing kind of.
Yeah, like kind of like the Miles Morales.
Ugly Night Monkey suit.
It's like an ugly Night Monkey suit from Spider-Man. Far From Home meets awesome Miles Morales suit from Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
But kind of like these two things weren't supposed to mix. And there's a problem, and it's apparent. And he's going after the girls. The plan is, I'll drive you guys in this taxi I stole to the woods. Stay in the woods. Don't do anything stupid. I'll go back to my apartment, read my mom's journal about spider people and spiders. She was researching this in Peru. I need to go back and get the girls. What have the girls done since then? They've snuck off to a diner.
Yeah.
Not only that.
They were supposed to stay. They got hungry.
Yeah, and they bought the entire menu. They ordered everything on the menu.
One of the girls, I think it was Maddie, is rich, right?
Yes. Yeah, you know, loaded.
Yeah, she was loaded.
Loaded. My parents are like very, very rich millionaires. Yes. I'm off on my own.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the thing, right? All these girls are kind of like orphan-ish.
On their own. Yeah.
But they're not really orphans. They're like orphan-ish. Yeah. They're just like...
Anya's parents or father or something got deported. Julia's, I think, father or mother had died, and she was with her step-parents who don't care about her and are on some faraway trip. I think that's what it was.
Yep.
They're just out at the diner being teenagers.
Yeah.
Eating all the food, flirting with all the boys.
Flirting with the boys, getting on the table and dancing for the boys.
They're supposed to be laying low.
Wilding out. And these 20-year-old girls posing as teenagers.
And you should know by now like what this movie's doing to you, but like they kind of play it like, all right.
The police are searching for these girls. They think they've been kidnapped.
By Cassie in the taxi. This is her vehicle of the movie. Okay, it makes it through almost the whole movie.
There's an APB out, all points bulletin, looking for these girls, and someone in the diner notices them.
Yeah,
I think these might be the girls. Calls the police.
Ezekiel
intercepts the call
with his assistant, which is the girl from the flight attendant.
Yes,
and she like helps. She's like, "All right, go get him." And he comes in, kills him,
murders him.
However, it's a vision.
It's a vision from Cassie,
who's in the woods,
looking for the girls. Like, I can't believe they left.
And she just
can't believe these girls that I don't know at all didn't trust me.
I can't believe they didn't
stay here
in the woods.
In the woods,
just by with nothing.
Yeah, I left them with nothing.
No toilet paper, even.
No,
it was hours. And this is where she's back at her apartment reading her mom's journal, and she learns, like, okay, the spider came from Peru. I need to learn more about that. I must have something going on with me about this spider. And this is one of the great quotes of the movie. You don't know if you can climb walls unless you try.
Yeah, maybe I have some spider powers. And I'm getting these precognition powers.
I got the vision stuff this book's talking about. And, like, these people can climb walls. She just, like, tries to climb the closet. And just falls.
And yeah, just falls.
Dud. This was maybe the only time the whole theater laughed of the whole movie.
Am I right? The whole movie.
Yeah. I mean, I was laughing at other things.
Yes.
Like, kind of under my breath, though. Like,
right.
What are you doing?
No, I mean, like, this was like an LOL by the whole everyone. And it was like all of us probably like releasing our like anxieties about this movie at the same time. Like, what is happening?
Well, after she comes back, she drives her car through the diner, hits the guy, hits Ezekiel. Saves them, takes them to her friend Ben's, and casually, even though she's on a manhunt, she's the top of a manhunt, she's able to fly to Peru on an international flight. And I mean, she's there in an hour. Okay. And she goes back to the jungle village
the exact jungle village,
and finds the exact man that said to her as a newborn baby.
Yeah. That helped birth her.
And said, "You'll come back to me, and I'll give you the answers." And she's like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "I told you, I'll give you the answers now."
Yeah.
And he walks her to the cave, and he goes, "This is the water where you were born."
Yeah.
And like, if you get in here, you're gonna like have a whole vision quest and come to your full potential. And he shoves her in, and she gets to like totally experience like the full web, the spider web.
Yeah, we get the webs and the things going off and everything. Yeah, it was an experience.
Thanks for the help. I'll head back to New York.
Yep.
And the girls are now under Ben's protection, but his sister-in-law, Mary,
yes,
goes into labor.
Or she peed herself.
Yes. Or she peed herself.
Another classic quote.
They go into labor.
The water
so
broke or I peed myself.
They all have to leave because she's going to give birth. They all have to get in the car and leave.
And they all get in the car, and they're driving, and Ezekiel comes after them, like, in the public.
Well, they get caught by a camera.
Yes.
Driving in the car. Oh, we got a tag. You know, we got a thread on him.
Yep.
Here they are going down 57th Street.
And he's there.
Yeah. He's
up on the
building. Well, let me stop looking at my spider.
Yep.
And then I will put on
the spider.
He has the spider in a glass case in his house.
And his mission is just to kill these girls so they don't kill him when he's
older. He's been having these visions of three spider women.
Yep. And he jumps down off the building, like onto their car, with Ben and Mary and the three girls in the back, and everybody screams. And then in comes Cassie, now in an ambulance that she took from like a nearby crew.
Yeah. Oh, so Cassie comes to the house, notices that they're gone. They called an ambulance, but they had to leave before the ambulance showed up at Ben's house.
That's what it was.
And she looks in the window and sees a puddle of fluid on the floor and automatically assumes, well, her water broke and they went to the hospital because she's having a baby.
The baby's coming.
The paramedics are knocking on the door. She jumps in the ambulance.
Sorry, guys.
The running ambulance.
Sorry,
and
guys.
And takes off.
And saves the day.
Yeah. Runs into him for a second time.
With a car.
With a
runs
car.
Runs him down the car.
She drives through like a parking garage, like a fourth floor parking garage.
And down onto
and
him.
And Dawn, hits him like out of the air.
That was, I remember when the ambulance was flying through the air, I think audibly to Carrie was like, what the fuck?
What
like,
is happening? Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
And the girls get in the ambulance. They're running from her, from the guy. And then it's, you know, we get the line for the first time. You know, we're so lucky to get it multiple times. Now you're really showing off. And like you're in the, and she's like, yeah, I guess not really. And then like 10 minutes later, 30 seconds later, now you're really showing off. And she's like, I guess I am a little. And then there's one more time because what's the big plan? This is the big finale. All right. I know how to use my powers. I've got the girls with me. Let's get some explosives. I don't remember where she gets the explosives.
It was a fireworks factory.
That's all
that they were at previously at the beginning of the movie.
So it's like, let's go back there.
Like, here we are. It's real close. Let's get in here and
set a trap.
Set a trap.
I'm going to trap him and like do what I do. Just grab all these explosives, sprinkle them around everywhere. And when he gets here, we're going to light his ass up. Or she says something like that. And they do. Like, he comes, here he is. And I think Scotty said it best, talking about it. You know, it wasn't as much of a battle as it was just literally avoiding explosions.
Yes.
This building is just blowing up, and it's just them running.
There's fireworks
him running.
Flying everywhere. You got bottle rockets blowing through brick walls.
They're on the roof.
Yeah.
Now they've gone to the
they've
roof.
Made it to the roof to, I think there was a helicopter coming.
There's a helicopter.
Something.
If we can get up there, the helicopter might be able to get us out of here. Okay, head towards that. Just climb up on the big Pepsi sign. You know, here comes Ezekiel. He's in his full black Spider-Man looking suit. Again, can't swing, no webs, just kind of jumpy, kind of strong.
Yeah.
Ends up getting all the girls in kind of like really rough spots.
Precarious positions. You know, somebody's hanging from a beam.
All at the same time.
Somebody else is on something that's crumbling and getting ready to fall. And yeah, they're all in danger. Cassie is facing off with Ezekiel. And he's basically put it to her, like, you can't fight me and save them all at the same time.
And she goes, yeah, I can.
I can.
And she has a new power that just, she turns herself into three separate ghosts.
Yes.
That are copies of herself. And she's like, and she has a voice and everything. She like leans down to each girl and is like, come on, get up. You're okay.
Yeah, well, I'll
you'll be
you.
Okay.
She has another
classic line to Ezekiel. The girls were never your future. I was.
Yeah.
Yes. Glad we're able to just work them in. There's so many good ones.
So, yes, gets the girls to safety, and then Ezekiel is pissed.
He's just so furious at this
He's
point.
Coming after her.
Because, like, and he's always been, like, she's just been this enigma the whole time.
Right.
Like, how are they even knowing when I'm coming? I know the future. They don't. Well, she does. Oh, you're the woman's daughter that I killed all those years ago. Okay, it's a big moment. Builds up this. And then Cassie's plan, she has him on the big catwalk underneath the Pepsi sign.
And she could see like the sign is falling apart.
Oh, she's
getting ready.
Not only has she seen it,
yeah,
she's been able to calculate, if I just get him underneath this
giant Pepsi pee.
And she does. She gets him right underneath it. And what would you say happened here?
Oh, it's just the sign falls apart.
Well, you said that
he just got peed on.
He got peed on. And not just him, you know, Cassie too.
Also takes a firework to the face.
Just blows up
right in her face, and she falls into water again?
Like into the rocks.
Into the river or something?
In the river and the rocks. She's like on the side. And
but she is drowned.
And Ezekiel fell, I'm telling you, it was maybe 70 feet. And yeah, this thing fell on him, but it kind of like
giant metal sign.
A giant metal sign for sure. But like, you know, this villain is just so like middle of the road.
Yeah.
I kind of like that kind of. It's kind of like, you know, if you were just a little bit less strong than Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, and had no powers other than that. Oh, and if I touch you, I can poison you. Like,
yes.
That's what this guy had going on. But he's dead. He's dead. Ezekiel's dead.
Yeah.
And it's at a cost, guys. There's a price to pay. Her eyes look blue. And I mean, in the theater.
Yeah, like milky.
In the theater, the girls like pull her out of the water. Her eyes are blue. I'm kind of like, are her eyes blue? Like, I was kind of thinking, like, are her eyes white? I didn't really know. And then they get her to the hospital, and I mean...
They do CPR on her.
Oh,
for like,
because...
Because earlier in the movie, she had shown them how to do CPR because she's a paramedic.
Maybe that's what this movie was about, teaching people CPR.
Teaching people
CPR.
CPR.
Yeah. Thanks, Sony. Safety. Safety first.
Couldn't save us from this ending, though.
Yeah,
She's blind.
And?
Hey, Siri, stop. That's why I usually unplug them before we start. She's blind, which, like, if you're a Madame Web fan, you maybe are, like, just kind of knowing this is where it goes, or if you've seen the Madame Web from, like, the cartoons.
Comic books,
cartoons, maybe. Like, I didn't really realize.
Those people don't exist.
Who?
Madame Web fans.
Okay. Well, I didn't know she, like, becomes blind or anything. So, I'm, like, me and Carrie are just, like, audience members at this point, and she's in the hospital, and she is blind.
Blind, yeah.
I got the glasses on, and not only that, she's paralyzed from the waist down.
Somehow. Yeah.
She just, I mean, but the girls are there, and one of my favorite lines in the movie was, they go, Cassie, how are you doing? You're awake. And she goes, I have everything I need. And, I mean, what a great attitude. I love the attitude.
Yes, yeah.
And you go
back. No, yeah, can't take that away.
But she also meant, like, because she learned, like, the full pinnacle of her powers, right? So what happens next, they're in an apartment, like a top roof apartment.
Of course. As a blind person. You're going to want the highest level of the building you live in.
I can't wait to ride this elevator nonstop.
And it's going to have fantastic windows.
It does have.
For the view.
And it does. And the girls are there, all three girls. And they come in, and one of them has a bag. And Cassie, blind, sitting there, goes, are we having chicken for dinner? And the girls are like, how did you know that?
Hello.
Like, how could you not smell chicken?
Right.
And then she goes, don't worry about the lamp or whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the girls knocks
face,
over.
Yeah.
Like the,
what?
These are such classic tropes. You just can't believe that they're making it in at the end of the movie right now. And then she goes, all right, it's our destiny or something. We're going to help. I'm going to help guide these girls, she says. And I'm going to help go help all the spider people out there, you know, in this web that I know now. It's my destiny to find and help them. And we get the most, you know, Professor X type like roll to the window, and it only wobbles, you know, just a little, and that's it. Close up on her face.
It's looking out the spider webbed window.
Do we miss anything?
Then it's a picture of her like protecting the three girls, and then
they
zooms
show
in on
I
her
think
wearing...
we get a couple of shots of like the girls in their Spider Woman outfits
just,
fighting crime,
just like
doing random things in the future.
In the future,
and you see her wearing her silly glasses, and then she says, "You know the best thing about the future? It hasn't happened
yet.
Madame Web. When I'm looking to catch the latest flick or indulge in a film classic, there's no place like the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema at the City Foundry, St. Louis, Missouri. It's where cinema and comfort collide, with plush seats, state-of-the-art visuals, and a menu that's a blockbuster in its own right. For you movie buffs that can't get enough, check out the Alamo Season Pass. For just $19.99 a month, you can watch as many movies as you want, up to one per day. It's the ultimate ticket for those who live and breathe movies. That's not all. The Alamo Drafthouse is more than just movies. It's an experience, with events that celebrate film culture, trivia nights that test your movie knowledge, and a bar that's a tribute to cinematic absurdity. It's the ultimate hangout for anyone who loves a good story. You can also book the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema for your private events, birthdays, celebration, corporate events, or even staple events like our screen and social. So whether you're a diehard cinephile or just in for a good time, join me and the crew at 3765 Foundry Way in St. Louis, Missouri. Dive into their showtimes and events at www.drafthouse.com. And don't forget to tell them Mostly Superheroes sent you, because every movie night should be legendary. Hey squad, it's Logan from Mostly Superheroes. Today I want to share with you a group that's very close to our hearts. Tiny Superheroes, right here in St. Louis, Missouri. Tiny Superheroes is an incredible organization that empowers kids overcoming illness or disability with their very own superhero capes, because every child deserves to feel like a superhero. Tiny Superheroes is on a mission to empower extraordinary kids all over the world. These aren't just any capes. They're symbols of strength, courage, and the superpowers that every child has inside. For every cape purchased, Tiny Superheroes donates one to a child overcoming challenges, spreading joy and confidence. And the adventure doesn't stop there. These Tiny Superheroes embark on monthly missions, earning patches, and joining a community that celebrates their unique journeys. So, let's rally behind these little legends. Visit www.tinysuperheroes.com to learn how you can support their mission. Whether you're gifting a cape or joining their squad, you're helping to uplift heroes who inspire us every day.
With great responsibility comes great power.
That was it. That was a line that took me back in my seat, and I was floored. Yeah. I could not believe.
Like they Yodified it.
When you take like, on the responsibility, great power will come.
There you go.
They flipped phrase for her, and let's just talk about it. Oh, my God. That was the movie. Nice job. Good review. Good retell. Always here on The Snack. Let's do roundtable final thoughts, Sony conspiracies. What's the Sony problem, Marvel problem? What happened to this movie? Let's start with you, Giggler. We'll go you, me, then Scotty.
Yeah, buddy. So, I mean, we all knew kind of what to expect going into this, or we thought we did, but like halfway through this movie, I thought that there was going to be like an age-up like thing where like we're going to go into a later portion, like more present day when maybe these girls actually had their powers and were Spider-Women, but that was not the case at all. I feel like they're building towards a second movie that they're not even worthy of. So I think honestly, everything fell flat on the face for me. Like the dialogue, terrible. Like all these lines are just like a joke. Like I can't believe. Like I'm looking forward to like a how did this get made of this movie. That'll be even better than the movie itself. So I think overall, I'll go with a 2.0 out of 4, honestly. It was one of my lowest ones ever, but now this is going to turn into a movie that we like sit back and laugh at, and I hope that I still have hope. I'm holding on hope for the Sony universe, like Kraven the Hunter. Like I'm hoping that they can kind of knock that one out of the park. Like I think there's a lot of good backstory there.
Maybe they learn something from Morbius and...
But why would they, though? Like, this movie got made, and they had to think right. It was good at some point.
Well, I think they made Kraven either at the same time as Madame Web or even before that, because I feel like Kraven was supposed to come out, like, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's coming out this year now, 2024. Yeah.
November. Or October, something like that.
In the fall.
And I feel like we're getting...
Venom 3.
Far enough past like the writer strike and all that stuff where we can't keep using that as like an excuse for for bad content.
Yes.
Like this is totally something else. And I don't even know what to call it.
Yeah, I feel like bad isn't even like the right word. It is. It's something else. It's Sony's thing right now is, and we've said this on this podcast a lot, it's like I think it's make the characters, make the movie, and just don't worry about it. Like, don't worry about any of it. Just get it out there so that these things exist so that we can play maybe another day or something, right? Like, maybe certain things turn into something else. So, yeah, let's just get Madame Web out. And it's this weird Spider-Man adjacent movie that's in 2003. And I've seen a lot of clips online, too, like pulling back to specific timing. Let's just talk about all these connections to, like, the Sony Spider-Man universe. Like, almost specifically... You're wondering, like, is this connected to, like, the Tobyverse? Like, or is
Andrew Garfield?
Because what do we learn? All right, Ben, I left the last name out of the spoiler-free part of the episode because I didn't want to give it away. Ben Parker, they are setting this up. Like, that's Peter Parker's uncle, Adam Scott, is playing, right? Like, this baby coming out of Mary, his sister-in-law, is presumably Peter Parker, which is like why we were saying that name scene was so frustrating, the baby name scene. Like, is this Peter Parker? And, you know, was it always Peter Parker? And then there's, I have seen clips of like scenes from Madame Web where like her having a vision of a building, you know, was an exact scene, literally like tape for tape from a building, like out of the Tobey Maguire movie, which like it's all Sony stuff. So like, could they in theory have been pulling from other Spider-Man properties to put into this movie, like completely legitimately because it's their stuff? Like, and they obviously wanted us to feel all these Spider-Man things. Like, it's a Spider-Man story about like the origin of the spiders, where spiders, this, these crazy spiders come from.
Yeah.
Ben Parker as a young person, like New York City. Like, you're not even in like another city, you're in New York.
Well,
so
after the baby was born, remind me of what Madame Web said about Ben, basically. I can't remember what the line was. It basically was like, you're going to need to be there for him or something like that. Yeah. Or it was basically just quoting it.
They were teasing.
That Ben's going to be a massive part of this baby's life. And they're like, oh, wow, duh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. She says he has no idea, like something like that.
Yeah.
You know, he has no idea how involved he's going to be, you know. And then, you know, my other takes are like, I was very excited to talk about this movie. I've learned that these like quote unquote bad movies are like the ones where they're just so off the wall. They're like the easiest to talk about because they're just like so shallow. And there's a lot, it's easy to keep track of the story because it's like, there's not a lot going on. It was awkward. It felt like at times Dakota Johnson didn't want to be there. And I know there's a lot of things.
I think that came off like
pretty strong.
Pretty obviously.
Like, was that a character trait of Cassie, or was that just Dakota being like, I can't believe I'm doing
this.
I'm
here for the paycheck.
And Brandon Davis at comicbook.com did a great review and take on this too. Like, the press tour has been interesting since the movie's come out, and the actors have said some negative things, like Dakota Johnson saying, like, I haven't even seen it.
They've definitely been distancing themselves.
And
from the movie.
And yeah.
BD has a good point, right? Like, these are just actors. Like, you get into something and you're like, this is a project. It's a Marvel project. Like, even if it's just Marvel adjacent, like the tie-ins that we've had so far have happened. We've had Venom
in the MCU.
Yeah, Venom in the MCU. We've had Vulture in the Sony Spider-Verse. You've seen stuff happen. So I yearn for that. And they're like, this could be something. And then like, maybe you get going and like, you got a director that's new. I mean, I'm not finger pointing anything. The system was flawed somewhere, and this movie came out. So my rating will be I still had fun. So like, that always comes into my rating. But I don't want. I have to acknowledge the poor quality, the lack of depth in writing. The character development was just mainly a joke. So yeah, you're getting a 1.5 from me.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah, I need that boo button back. I'll bring it back.
Yeah.
Scotty.
Oh, man, this was so terrible. There's a couple of reasons why I think they're making these movies. And one is rights. Once they make these movies with these characters in them, they retain rights. They have to put these characters in movies to keep those rights, from my understanding.
If you don't
use it, you lose it.
Yep, right. just say the wrong phrase.
I've heard that.
I think that Sony is doing some kind of underhanded stuff here. This is my conspiracy. I think they lied to these actresses and told them that they are in the MCU. Because in interviews, a few of them said, oh, we're excited to be in the MCU. You're not in the MCU.
Oh, boy.
This is not the MCU.
But, like, is it? It's not.
It's not.
Right. It's
not my MCU. Nice.
And I think Sony is doing something here, maybe to just grab rights and keep them, but maybe also to kind of sully the name of Marvel.
Oh, geez.
In an effort to get Marvel to fork out billions of dollars to buy Spider-Man back.
Make a case for them to buy the
properties.
I
think they're, because I even noticed this on my personal page when I posted, please don't go see this movie. Please don't give Sony any money. It is only encouraging them to see this movie. This movie is terrible. Someone commented on my post that said, man, the MCU, or Marvel is really going downhill. And my friend Cecil said, this isn't the MCU. Marvel didn't make this movie.
Yeah.
And
Sony.
The other guy said, it said Marvel at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, right.
And
oh, wow, that's interesting. Like, yeah. If you're not really in it at
all. If you're not deep into it.
Or if you're just getting into it.
You just see that this is another failed Marvel movie.
You're like, first the Marvels, which I loved. But
yeah, I loved it.
Some people didn't. And then you're like, now Madam Web.
Yeah,
like,
Morbius.
What are you, like, no. Don't lump those
Ant-Man,
together.
Ant-Man didn't do as well as they wanted.
Still epic.
Yeah, still great. But, you know, they just see it as another failed movie. Mm. And people aren't blaming Sony. You know, people who only have tertiary knowledge of
the Marvel
universe, they're not blaming Sony. They don't see the Sony banner. They see the Marvel banner.
Mm-hmm.
And this all kind of just rolls back into Marvel. And they're like, we can't stop them from making these movies. Maybe if we just give them $1 billion.
Right.
We can get these rights back.
That's
keep them from making trash.
That is like a conspiracy theory. I like that. And it seems like it's sounding like the truth to me. Like,
yeah,
we can make a case to get Kevin Feige and Disney to go, we can't have this happening anymore.
Yeah, you can't keep doing this.
Well, what are we supposed to do as the people? What do we do?
Stop going to see these movies.
Don't go
see Sony's movies.
Are we not going to go see Venom?
Both Venoms were not good. They were better than this.
Yeah, do we just wait till they come on like DVD?
But I think...
Sorry, guys. I'm going to keep going. Maybe. No matter how shitty they are, I'm going to keep going.
It's our job.
Well,
guys.
And honestly, what would you say? You're welcome. Fans and listeners coming into the pod, we have done this for you. Hopefully, you know, Scott is campaigning. Don't go see it.
Don't give them your money.
There were rumors of tickets getting refunded. I don't know if that was true or not. This is going to be coming to streaming any day now. It might be out by the time you're listening to this, so you should check. But the takeaway is we watched it for you and we will be that for you. This is like why you come to this podcast. So, you can feel we want it to be good.
Yes.
And I yearn for the crossovers. Like I got pumped up whenever Vulture met Morbius bad as Morbius was. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Whatever.
And I still had fun watching that movie, but what did you do? You could have made it so much. This could have been a good movie.
And why can't they? Like that
Why can't you just make a good movie?
You know,
I mean, all the actresses and actors in this movie are great.
Top notch.
Great.
Go ahead, Andy.
It was silly at the beginning and like the first half, I was just like, I could see the story and I'm excited to see how these girls become what they are. And
but
like,
we didn't see
that's
it.
Not what happened.
Yes.
So that wasn't the movie that I wanted, even during the middle of it. Like it's wasn't what I expected through the trailers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I mean, even if Cassie had brought back three spiders from Peru and had them bite these girls so they could have powers for the final battle, that would have made sense.
That's true. That is what it's lacking. Like you thought you were going to see all these superheroes like fighting the whole time.
It shows them.
Once again, comes back to like bad marketing and like only showing what will sell the tickets.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, and you've got some like a known commodity in Dakota Johnson, up and comers like Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney's exploded.
Isabella
since
Merced.
This movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But she's been on the scene for a couple of years now. She was on Euphoria. What is
Anyone But You is the movie. Just
Anyone But You.
You're right. Like,
started watching that last night.
You're right. These aren't like, these are A-listers. And Adam Scott, like, I mean, he's doing heavy dramas like Severance on Apple TV Plus. Like
and
this is
Emma Roberts.
And he brought it in this movie. Emma Roberts.
Roberts.
She's great.
Just be buried in this film.
Yeah, just literally just I know. I was like, Emma Roberts is in this? Like she was Mary.
Yeah. There was another issue I had, and that was with Ezekiel. Almost his entire dialogue was ADR.
What is ADR?
That is where maybe they had some sort of issue. When he was doing the scenes with his accent or his sound, and they re-recorded his lines and pasted them over the movie.
Oh, I see.
So
like dubbed.
It was kind of, it's like a dubbing.
And also, they do that trick where they don't show the camera angle of him.
Him
they
talking.
They show his head, the back of his head. I noticed that. I said that to Carrie. I go, like, they're replacing lines.
Almost the entire movie of his dialogue
so like
was re-recorded or... Just because it just didn't work.
It could be, yeah, right.
It could have been for any reason.
It could have been quality.
His accent was kind of thick.
Yeah, but or it was like a major rewrite.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh, these lines are too cheesy, or this might make sense. Let's replace it with something that's more of an enigma. Man, this movie was so bad. It's a one for me.
Wow. I think that's the lowest.
Like.
I think that's it. I think we've got it.
And I think.
Lock it in. Put it in the books.
What should really tell you? How bad this movie was is that Lila only gave it like a 3.2.
Oh, see? That was any other time be a 4.0.
Yeah, 3.9 and 4. That's like as ever as low as she gets.
The Lila scale.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Man, this was so bad. That being said, I still hold out a little bit of hope for Craven. I mean, the trailer we got last year looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it got me intrigued, and like
I like Aaron Taylor Johnson.
You know,
his name, right?
You know what? Yep. You know what? I don't like Dakota Johnson. You know, the week before the movie comes out, she's in interviews saying, "I mean, I guess technically she like didn't lie. She was like, you've never seen a movie like this, and you're
neither
not gonna
she.
Believe, right? And then after the movie, she's like, I've never seen it. And
I've
I'm
never
like,
seen
whoa!
It. And that's not like an odd thing.
But
a lot
still,
of actors and actresses don't watch a final.
But
cut
when you're
of
promoting,
the movie.
When you're promoting a movie though. Like, you gotta at least have seen, like, a cut.
Well, and in all her interviews, she kind of came off almost exactly like she did in the movie. Like, wooden and, like, no charisma. I don't really want to be here, but I have to do this press tour for the movie, or it'll make even less money than it's projected to make. Man, I hope this is, like, the nail in the coffin. For the Sony Spider-Verse.
To be determined. Let's end with some fan theories and some sources, and we'll wrap up this episode of The Snack. Some fan theories. So Uncle Ben's role, we obviously talked about Adam Scott playing Uncle Ben. His presence might bridge the gap between Sony and the MCU. Like, it seemed like maybe he could have been a variant, you know, of MCU's Uncle Ben. Are they trying to connect this to which Uncle Ben are they trying to say?
He might not even be a variant. He might be the MCU's Uncle Ben.
Like Tom Holland's.
Yeah, he might be Tom Holland's Uncle Ben. This was 2003.
It's 2003.
Tom Holland showed up in the MCU in what, 2016?
Uh-huh.
2017?
Civil War.
In Civil War, he would have been 13 or 14, just into high school,
yep.
Right?
But why would a paramedic have a briefcase?
Why would a paramedic have a briefcase?
Well, in Spider-Man...
It wasn't Uncle Ben's briefcase.
No Way Home.
It was his father's briefcase, was it not?
I thought it said B.P. Ben. I thought it was Ben Parker's briefcase.
Maybe.
That he took with him to London in Spider-Man Far From Home.
But I didn't think there was an Uncle Ben. I think it was still him just looking for his parents. Or am I confusing that with maybe...
Now you're thinking of the Andrew
Garfield.
Andrew Garfield is the only one that like,
thought
dives
his parents
into
were
a
like
parent.
Spies yeah, or yeah, something. Yeah.
It's the only one that brings in the parents. Toby's okay. Don't even bring it up. Tom's don't bring it up so
right.
far. Okay, let's talk about Web of Life and Death. Madam Web's connection to the multiverse through Web of Life and Death opens intriguing possibilities, maybe trying to connect her to every Spider-Man out there. Which, like, nowadays, you wouldn't... Like, before you see this movie, you'd be like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, we can get
I've
Toby
seen,
back. We
I've
can
seen
get Andrew
Spider-Man,
back.
Spider-Man No Way Home? Like,
yeah.
You said it. Why couldn't you make such a good movie? You made Spider-Man No Way Home with Kevin Feige. Were you not taking notes?
Yeah.
Like, how did you not get the formula?
You've got 30 movies, 40, you know, if you count TV shows, to look and see what a good superhero movie is. And this just wasn't it. Like, I don't understand how they could write this, film it, do all the post work, and at every step of the way, someone approved this and said, yeah, that's it.
And then here's the last theory that maybe answers our questions here. Like, this may have been the major rewrite. A theory suggests that the three Spider women travel back in time to protect an unborn Peter Parker. So, like, if you think about Ben and Mary, like, pregnant with the baby and everything, like, why even have that? Like, you didn't really do anything with it. It seems like you could have learned that, like, this kid was the key. Like, maybe you reveal the Spider-Man in the future. And you just kind of show him up on a building, even.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like maybe.
And maybe these Spider-Women, like, train Spider-Man.
Or, like, Right. Like, now you're really
getting to
something.
Because they're older.
And now you're really getting to something.
Like, I mean, like, these are how ideas work. And it doesn't seem like they had an idea.
Yeah, we got enough ideas
when they
right
made
now.
This movie.
Yep.
Like, get some nerds in your writer's room.
Call us.
Jesus.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
All right, thanks to Screen Rant, thanks to Wikipedia, thanks to Looper, IMDb. You know, let's just take a look at the IMDb for this movie, see how it's holding up. 3.7 out of 10 on the IMDb scale.
It's real bad.
Let's see if we can get a Rotten Tomatoes for us as well. It'll usually pop up first. Okay, so we got a 12% Rotten Tomatoes, 26% Metacritic, and only 30% of Google users like this movie, which is typically 99%.
Yeah, it's usually pretty high.
It's usually in the 90s for, like, everything.
I can tell you, like, I've just running into people on, like, Facebook groups and stuff. There are people who thought this movie was good. Those people are wrong, but they're entitled to their opinion.
That's exactly right. And we want to hear from you, whether you liked it, you didn't like it, if you did see it, if you're not going to see it, we want to hear from you. MostlySuperheroes.com/contact. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 754-CALL-LOG. And we want to know what you thought of the movie, and we'll feature you on our podcast and on social media. And that's Madam Web, another Sony movie in the books. We'll keep you apprised of the Sony Marvel Universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, everything outside and in between. The webs are entangled.
It's webbing time.
It's webbing time. Final sign-offs, Scotty Scoop. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, I'll always be here.
Giggler?
I'm ready, baby.
All right, I'm Logan. This is Mostly Superheroes. Take it easy. Mostly Superheroes is proud to be funded in part by our sponsors. Mostly Superheroes is funded in part by paying patrons who receive early, ad-free, and exclusive episodes. Subscribe at mostlysuperheroes.com/support. Thank you for supporting your favorite independent podcast. Mostly Superheroes is an independent podcast owned and operated by Kerrigan Ventures in St. Louis, Missouri. Hosted by Logan Janis, Andy Hun, and Scott Swearingen. Brand and creative by Kerry Clark Design. Music by Audionautics. Learn more at audionautics.com. Find more at mostlysuperheroes.com.